As some of you noticed, this topic might be familiar. I did address this topic a few weeks ago Friday night, but I only spent a few minutes on it. And I wanted to elaborate on more of the sources and topic related to it. So I'll repeat the story again. Those might remember it, those may not remember it, but the Maisa goes as follows. Just a month ago, I went out with a couple of friends of mine to the city to out to eat. We do this every so often. And we went to some fancy place they took us to. And it was a place called Barnea. Have you heard of it? Maybe you've been there. Okay, fine. We went to this place called Barnea. And we went to the restaurant. So as we were being seated down at the table, so a friend of mine, we'll call him Ruvain, was sitting at a table next to where we were being seated. And he comes over to us and says, I apologize before, and we're going to be my table. His table is a bit rowdy. He had a bunch of goyim that were with him. So we thanked him for the advice, suggestion, and we went to have our meal. An hour into the meal, Ruvain comes back. He comes directly to me, but it was everyone else able to hear the conversation. And Ruvain tells me, you see the guy sitting next to me at the table? So there was a guy sitting there who was, as I described that Friday night, a big tight end, basketball player size, tattoos. I didn't say this, but he had tattoos across his arm. A scary looking guy. And he says he is the chief of staff to the Moroccan prince. And he starts telling me how in Morocco they very much love the Jews. And when we, a few years ago, during the Arab Spring, when all the different governments throughout the Middle East were falling apart, Morocco was a government stayed strong. And they attribute that to their care they had given to all the Kibbe Tzaddikim, all the Tzaddikim that are buried there. They have the Baba Sali's grandfather, the Abir Yaakov, is buried there. It happens to be that week was the yahrzeit of the Abir Yaakov when I met this individual. And the Pinto, Pinto family is buried in Morocco. So they take care of it. And people told me afterwards that the Kibbe Tzaddikim in Morocco are completely clean. You could eat off the floor there. And so they attributed their kavod, their honor that they gave the Kibbe Tzaddikim to the success that the government has. So they love the Jews there. And as he's telling me this, I forgot his name, but this is a big individual, the chief of staff gets up from the table, comes directly over to me and sticks out his hand, and he asks me if I could give him a bracha, I give him a blessing. So I was stunned by this, as I pointed out, because firstly, there's a question in halacha whether or not you're allowed to give a bracha to a guy. And secondly, which bracha would I actually give him? So he goes on to describe to me how, you know, he saw I was hesitating. And he says to me, forget the politics, you're Jewish, I'm Muslim, but my grandmother was a Kohen. So to which I had said to him, so maybe you should give me a blessing. And he didn't find that funny at all. And as he's like bone-crushing handshake, looking me in the eyes, staring me down. So the question is, am I allowed to give him a bracha? That was the question.
Why isn't he a Jew to begin with?
So I don't know if this was his mother's grandmother or his father's grandmother. If it was his mother's grandmother, I don't want to be the one to tell this guy he's Jewish. And if it was his father's mother, then he's not Jewish. So I wasn't. He said his grandmother. A grandmother's a Kohen. So I don't know who, if it was his mother's mother, he would be a Jew. But if it was his father's mother, he would not be a Jew. So I don't know. But that's how the conversation started, at least. So as he's holding my hand, I'm trying to review the sugya, whether I could give this guy a bracha or not. Now, ignoring the fact that it may have been pikuach nefesh, I had not given him a bracha. So that being said, let's discuss the question of giving brachas. Now, and we know that Yaakov Avinu, when he met Paro, in Parsha Vayigash, it says, Vayivarach Yisrael es Paro. He did give a bracha to Paro. Paro certainly wasn't Jewish. And Yisrael, Yaakov gave him a bracha. That may have been before Matan Torah. Or maybe there's another explanation why he was able to. There is another ma'isa. It's a well-known ma'isa with Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler, when he was in Europe, so there were 24 rabbis that were taken by the Italian government. And they were being extradited to the Germans, the Nazis at the time. And Rav Aaron Cutler got wind of this, and he wanted to, of course, protect them. So he wanted to know, how do I save these 24 rabbis from going to the hands of the Nazis? So he was told, if you go to this mafia boss, Joe Bonanno, he'll make sure everything's going to be taken care of. Rav Aaron Cutler didn't know Italian, and Joe Bonanno didn't know Yiddish. So he brought some Askin, who knew both Yiddish and Italian, to translate between. So Rav Aaron Cutler and this particular Askin went to meet Joe Bonanno. And the individual was explaining to Joe what was going on, and he says, not to worry, I'll make sure that the 24 rabbis will be saved, and they were saved. And then Joe Bonanno said to the Askin, who's this old man who you brought with you? So he said, he's the godfather of the Jews. So he said, Job and Adam, well, could I get a blessing? Could he give me a bracha of some sort? So he gave him the bracha that you should die in your bed, which is a chashu bracha for someone in the mafia, to die a natural death, not to be shot. So he very much liked that bracha, and he apparently died a natural death in his 90s or something. So fast forward a few years, and one day in Lakewood, the base magistrate Gavoa, so a big limousine pulls up to the base magistrate, and two big Italian guys come out, and they said, could we speak to Rabbi Cutler? So they send out Rav Shneur Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler already had passed away. Rav Shneur Cutler, his son, came out and said, I'm Rabbi Cutler, could I help you? He says, yeah, you know, in Italian, you know, our father, Joe, is retiring, and he's giving the business over to us. We want a blessing like you gave my father. So Rav Shneur Cutler said, you know, my father had a certain koach of giving brachas. I don't have such a koach. I can't give you such a bracha. They said, thank you so much, and they went on their way. So we see that while Rav Aaron Cutler gave a bracha to Joe Bonanno, Rav Shneur Cutler refused to give a bracha to the non-Jews. So what is the question of whether or not you're allowed to give a bracha to a goy or not a goy? So there is a Magen Avraham, which is tucked away in Hilchos Birkas HaMazon. The Magen Avraham writes, what happens if you're saying the bracha, you're supposed to give all these harachamans and give brachas to everyone, kol mesugin kan, everyone who's sitting at the table. What happens if there's a non-Jew sitting at your table? So I know that happens in my house, in my parents' house. My grandmother, when she comes to have a meal with my parents, when we come over for Shabbos, my grandmother will come, and she has an aide. Now, this aide is a very religious aide. She's not Jewish, though. She's Trinidad. But she's very religious. So it comes when we get up to wash her hands for our motzi. She also gets up, and she washes her hands with a motzi. When it comes time for Zemiros, she also sings a little bit of Zemiros in her own way. She benches also. She reads the English, I think. So she's very into the meals. So during the benching, should you include her in the benching as well? She's very much a part of the table. So the Magen Avraham writes, number one, Kishayesh Akum Bibayis, when there's a non-Jew in the house, Noagin Lomar Kulonu Yachad B'nei Bris. You have to add the word B'nei Bris. All of us should be getting a bracha, but only those who are B'nei Bris, only those who are part of B'nei Yisrael. However, he does quote the Taz that's found in Yerdeya. She'ein Onachon, he doesn't think this is the correct girsa. He agrees to the concept that you should not include the goy in the bracha, but the girsa should be different. He says, "Dechaven she'omer kulanu yachad." Once you first said all of us is included, so B'nai Bris doesn't work to exclude them. So he changes the girsa. It should really be Ella Yomer Osanu B'nai Bris, then kulanu yachad. All of us B'nai Bris, kulanu yachad, we should get blessed, but not the akum that may be at your table. Hatam, what's the reason? The fisha also levarich akum. You can't give a bracha to a goy. Dichsev lo sechanim. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says lo sechanim, which literally means sechanim means to give something for free. Chinam. We'll look at the Gemara in a second. But there's an iser to give something for free to a goy. Lo sechanim. So let's understand this pasuk lo sechanim. The Gemara number two of Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Amud Aleph tells us tani nami hachi lo sechanim means we learn three different isurim. Lo sitein lem chaniya bakarka. You can't give them any land in Eretz Yisrael. You can't sell land to them. You can't give land to them. That's number one. Number two we learn is davar acher. Lo sechanim, lo sitein lahem chen. You can't give them chen. What does chen mean? Rashi says you can't say kama yofe goyze. How beautiful this particular goy is. That's an issue people don't realize. You can't say LeBron James is the best basketball player in the world. You can't say Steph Curry's got the best outside shot ever. You can't say James Harden's got the best step-back three-point shot. You can't say these things. So look at how Rambam writes. So you don't have it in front of you, but the Rambam writes, I'll read it for you. In Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he codifies, one sec, he codifies all these Yisurim. And he says, V'chein aser l'saper b'shvachan, you can't describe their praise. V'afilu lomer, even to say, kama na goy ze b'tzirasa, how handsome is this individual? Kal v'chomer, she'esape b'shevach masav. Certainly then, it will be also to praise their action, their ability to play basketball, their ability to, whatever they're doing, that's great. O she'echavev davar midverim, or to really love something of theirs, she'nemar v'lo sechanim. Lo yehei lam chen be'inecha, there shouldn't be any chen in their eyes, mipnei she'gorim lihidabek imo, it causes you to connect to them, u'lilmo b'masav haram, to learn from the evil ways. So I don't want to get involved in this particular sugya, but it's possible to say that there might be a heter of what I just said, all those different praises of LeBron James. I don't know LeBron James. He doesn't know me. He doesn't care to know me. We're not building any type of relationship. So there is room. I'm not passing. I haven't looked into the sugya well. But based on the Rambam, it's room to possibly say that only when you're talking directly to the person giving the praise in his presence would there be a violation. But to describe someone not in his presence, there may be room to allow for that. The Tur adds another heter in this topic. Again, this is just a side topic to keep in mind. If you're doing it not to praise the individual, but you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu in creating such an individual with such great talent, athleticism, strength, beauty, that would be permitted. But to praise individual, and particularly to his face, where it's going to then conjure up some type of relationship, that's where it would be awesome. So that's Isser number two, which is not our topic, about praising a non-Jew. And Lo Sechanim, the third Isser included in this Pasuk, in the end of number two here, is Davar Acher Lo Sechanim, means Lo Sitein Lehem Matnas Chinam. Do not give them a free gift. You can't give them a free gift. So let's say you're in the restaurant, and you ordered, I don't know, a pie, you only needed seven slices. So the eighth slice, you don't want to throw it out, you don't want to take it home for some reason. So you see a nice family next to you. You give it to the family, the kid looks hungry, so you give it a slice, or you have extra fries that you didn't eat, or whatever leftovers that you want to give and they want to take, you cannot give to a guy that you're sitting next to. You go to a restaurant, they come to the pizza store next to you, you can't give them an extra slice, you can't give them an extra french fries. It's called matnas chinam.
If you ask them to throw it out or to give it to someone, better throw it out.
Better throw it out, yeah. You cannot give it matnas chinam. There's an issa deraisa to throw it out. It won't be Baal Tashchis, because Baal Tashchis is only if you need it. If you don't need it anymore, so then that's not Baal Tashchis anymore. If you give it to a Jew, it's another story. If you want to take it home, that's another story. But if you don't plan to eat it at home, and you don't plan to give it to a Jew that's available, then it's not a violation of Baal Tashchis.
Mailman comes.
So we'll get to this one in just a second. But the person right now, Matnas Chinam, you give a gift for free to a guy, that's a violation.
Isn't there an idea, since it's worthless now to you, that you're not giving them anything?
No, it's still you're still giving something to them, and therefore says the Magen Avraham a bracha as well by giving a bracha, even though a bracha is nothing tangible, there's nothing valuable to a bracha. But we know the Gemara says even a birchas hedyo takes effect. A bracha from me, a bracha from you. That even though it's not as powerful from a rav, it's still a bracha, and therefore it's giving them a free gift. So to include a goy in the bracha around the table, sitting around the table with you, that is a violation of Lo Sechanim, says the Magen Avraham. And for that reason, that's why I was hesitating when I met this Yishmaeli. I wouldn't initially give him a bracha. And that's why Rav Shneur Kotler wouldn't give the Banana Sons brachas either, because you cannot give bracha to a goy. Are there any heterim for giving a bracha to a goy?
So why do
I get it? We'll get there. So are there any heterim? So number one is, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch number three, Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, Simon Kuf Nun Aleph, Siv Yud Aleph, Aser Litein Matnas Chinam, La Oved Kol Chavim, Shein Makir. We'll get to Makir, ignore that just for a moment. I want to focus on Oved Kol Chavim. Now, sometimes the Goyim are referred to as Goyim, Nachri, Oved Kol Chavim. The word Oved Kol Chavim means one who's Oved Kol Chavim, one who serves literally stars, an idol worshiper. So the way the Shulchan Aruch writes is, it sounds like there's only an Isser to give it to an idol worshiper. So that means if you're, are Muslims considered Avodah Zarah? Christianity, that's a big machlokas. So I'm going to focus on Islam because that was the question at hand. Is Islam considered Avodah Zarah? So there is a Ran actually. The Ran holds that Islam is considered idol worshipping. We don't assume like the Ran. We assume like the Rambam that it's monotheism. So let's look at the Rambam where he says this. There is a halacha we know, Issa deraisa, of Yai Nesach. Yai Nesach means, if a goy were to take a wine and pour it towards their avodah zarah as a service, that wine is usher to drink, and it's also usher to get hana. Let's say they just touch a bottle of wine that's open. They don't use it for avodah zarah. They touch the bottle of wine. That's called stam yenam. It's a derabanan that any wine that was open that they touch, you can't drink it, but you can get hana from it. So you could sell it. You could give it as a gift, but you can't drink the wine that they touch. That's called stam yenam. So the look at the Rambam, how he writes this. The Rambam writes in number four. Ger Toshav, v'hu shekiba alav sheva mitzos. Ger Toshav is a goy who doesn't want to convert, but he wants to formally take upon himself to keep all seven mitzos. I'm hereby saying that I want to keep all sheva mitzos b'nei Noach. I'm a Ger Toshav. But he's not Ger Tzedek, Ger Toshav. So Ger Toshav is makabel all seven mitzos, kimoshi bi'arnu, like the Rambam explained before. If he touches wine, yay no aser. His yain is aser, mishtia, umutter ba'na. But you could get hana from that. A similar question was asked in the chat last week. If a non-firm person touches wine, what's the status of that wine? Same thing, we say don't drink the wine. If the person's Machal Shabbos Pifar Hesya, we don't drink the wine if he touches it. So the Ger Toshev has the same din. You could get Hana from the wine, you could sell the wine and give it as a gift, but you can't drink it. Miyach the Netzel Yain, Vein Mafki the Netzel Yain, fine. V'chein kol akum, any other akum, she'eno ovid akum, meaning any other goy that doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, if they touch the wine, it's usher to drink, but you may benefit from it. And what's the example of a goy who doesn't worship Avodah Zarah? Kigon Elu, Hayishma Elim. The Rambam lived in Cairo. I was zochet to see the Rambam's shul, actually, in Cairo, the old city, the Jewish quarter of Cairo. This the famous Geniza that's in Cairo. The Rambam lived amongst the Muslims. He understood their religion. He understood what they held. And he paskin that Yishma'elim are not considered Ovdei of Odezara. They're Goyim, but they're not idol worshippers. That being said, one may assume then that since the halacha is you can't give manas chinim to an Oved Kochavim, maybe it's only usher to give a free gift to a Christian. The Christian sitting next to you in the store, don't give him your fries. Don't give him your slice of pizza. But if there's a Muslim who doesn't worship Avodah Zarah, so maybe you'd be able to give him the extra gift. Maybe I can give a bracha to Yishmaeli. But the Shach writes in number 5, don't think that. He says that Chol Oved Kochavim B'mashma Afilu Yishmael. Even though the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is Oved Kochavim, the Shulchan Aruch means all types of Goyim, even Yishmaeli. Which means you can't give a Manas Chinim to a Muslim, nor could you give a bracha to a Muslim either. So are there any heterim for ever giving a bracha to a non-Jew? So there are actually 3 heterim. And we're going to go 3 heterim. We'll give some examples and we'll explain what happened at this the restaurant in the end. So number 6 is the first heter. Tosas there in the sugya and Daf Chaf in Avodah Zarah, he talks about a Gemara where someone sent a piece of meat to a guy. He sent some meat to a guy. And Tosas asks, how is that possible? Isn't that Matnas Chinam giving a gift to a guy? And he answers in number 6 in the bold, the Hacha Be'ovid Kochavim Hamakiro, the Shulchan Aruch referenced this before. If you recognize him, Mutter, you're allowed to give a gift, Mipnei Shu Kimocholo. Even though he's not paying for the gift, it's as if he's paying for it. What does that mean? So Ezra was referring to this before. If a guy does a service for you, a mailman, he does a service. You don't have to pay for it. It's part of the stamp that you pay. You don't pay him directly, but he gets paid. That does a service. If you want to give him a tip at the end of the year, is that allowed? Is that considered matnas chinam? Is that a free gift? Says the Tosfos, it's not, because since you're makiro, since you recognize him, you have a relationship with him, there's a service that he provides for you, that's not called matnas chinam, that's actually paying for a service that he does for you. Another example, a waiter. Can you not tip waiters anymore? The bill comes up $100 for the meal. You want to give 15%, now that everyone's including 50% is like the part of the bill. You want to give another 3% on top of that? Are you allowed to? Is that considered matnas chinam? Is that a free gift? No, that's allowed. You could give as much as you want because it's all kimochro. You recognize him. You're paying for services. You decide to give more. You didn't have to give more, but even though you decide to, that's considered a kimochro, kimakiro, yes.
Is it only if they have performed the service for you or anyone that you'd recognize?
Anyone you recognize. Service is just a good way to explain it. A bus driver. You want to give a tip at the end. They do a service for the children. That as well. Let's say you have a neighbor. The neighbor doesn't do any service directly. If you have a good relationship with them and you get along and you take each other's newspapers and mail when you go away, all these kinds of things, which is not really a service of a paying service, that's a type of situation where you can give gifts to them. That would be allowed. Okay. So that's one heter. Now, this particular, yeah.
What about an ani or somebody
who's
in time of need?
Excellent. We'll get to an ani. That's one of the explanations. We'll get there. The third heter about giving an ani. So now, applying to my case and this individual, this Yishmaeli who wanted a bracha, I was not makira, I did not recognize him. He didn't do any service for me, there's no relationship there. So at first glance, so at first glance, for me personally, yeah. I had nothing to do with it. There is room to say on a global level, since he's part of the government and they have performed services for the Kivrei Tzaddikim, there might be room to explain that way. I agree, that may be considered makira, I'm not sure.
What about if you're doing it for a future service?
For a future service, I think that would be permitted. Let's say, talk about a business case for a second, and I don't know how it works nowadays, but I know my father's a doctor, so we used to, before they made all these rules, the lawyers got involved, we used to get free tickets to Nets games and stuff. You know, I got to go to, I've been to 2 clinchers in my life. I went to when the Lakers swept the Nets in Meadowlands after 4, I, My father got tickets from some pharmaceutical company or something. I took Mikey, who's not here. Mikey, I took him. I was dating my wife at the time. She was upset I didn't take her. I took Mikey. We sat in like 10 rows behind one of the baskets there. We saw Bernie Williams a few rows up, and we were convinced it was him. Mikey went to ask if it was him. He denied it, but it was certainly him. Magic Johnson was there in the crowd. All the celebrities were there. So after the game was over, this is completely a side topic now, but I'll get back to this point in just a second. So afterwards, we went down to the court. They roped everything up. And Shaquille O'Neal like walked over right near where we were standing to like pull some guys over. The guy is huge. Like, you thought the Ishmaeli was big in the restaurant? Shaquille O'Neal is massive. There one time, my mind is just racing now for a second. My brother, see, once when Shaq was initially drafted to the Magic, remember those days? Was 1995 or something?
Three?
Okay. So,
Hardaway, right?
Yeah, him Hardaway, yeah. So my brother called me to his room once. I went to his room and I jumped. He had bought a large life-size poster, stand-up cardboard of Shaquille O'Neal. I walked into his room. So let's say you're trying to build a business. Now, the pharmaceutical company is trying to give you tickets and try to get a relationship to get some business and buying their products and stuff. Lania's diet, that probably would work. Even though you haven't received any business or service, it's part of how one runs a business, how you get relationships, commission, that's brokering, that's how it works. I would think it would be permitted. I think so. Correct. So I think it's talking about a relationship in a friendship as opposed to a business relationship. So that's the case, then you can never do any business with a guy. Right. It does come up, the Tosis in Bava Metzia by Ribbis talks about these in Yanim, about lending Ribbis and about relationships and business. But we assume you could certainly do business with guy. Yeah.
But in your case, I know how the story ends, but like you said, you can use him for a favor down the line.
I didn't realize that I could have. Like, this guy's some Moroccan government. Like, what am I going to gain from him? Like, but you're in the end. If had I known I could have built some relationship, then maybe that would have been considered makiro, perhaps.
Right, but isn't it? Well, again, looking at it in a global way, this. If you're nice to this person who's in the government. So then if you're nice to him, then he'll have good feelings towards Yidden,
That's what he was saying before. This since not because of me per se, he's met tons of people, but since it's more paying back, it's showing some respect or hakar satov to what he as a government has done for the kibbutz tzaddikim.
Right, but I'm saying even if he didn't, say looking like something like goes to the future. Now, there's if you meet a guy and within a government position, and you're nice to him, so then when he meets another Yidden, he's you'll have good feelings to a Yidden if you're going to.
That'd be a different hatter. That would not be makira. That would be what we'll get to the last one, Darche Shalom, I think. Not makira, though. So then let's look at the second hatter that's found in the Ramban. The Ramban's going on a well-known Gemara. The Gemara is talking about the Gemara Rabbi Elazar, who was looking for a minion, and they only had 9 people. And he was schlepping along with him his Eved Kanani. So what happens is when you free an Eved Kanani, that Eved Kanani becomes a Jew. He's a ger, and now he could count towards the minion. So the Gemara asks, it's found in Maseches Gittin and Maseches Brachos, the same Gemara. There are slight yourselves differences, but the overall gist is the same. So the Gemara says, how could you fear Eved Kanani? There's an Isser, the Pasuk says, Li'olam Behem Tavodu, Li'olam, forever you must be Tavodu, you have to always enslave them. So how was he able to free his Eved Kanani? The Gemara says, because mitzvah shiny, some yourselves are mitzvah derabim shiny, it was to make a minion, and therefore it's allowed. That's what the Gemara says. Now, as a side point as well, this is the one of the main sources of how important minyanim are. Davening a minyan is, even though the Shulchan Aruch says l'shtadel, you should try really hard, l'shtadel doesn't say chayiv, still many poskim, Rav Moshe among them, says it's not just l'shtadel, there's a chiv to daven a minyan. From the fact that we see that he was freed his slave to create a minyan, shows the importance of it. But that's a longer discussion we've discussed in the past. So look what the Ramban writes on this Gemara, number 7. Ramban writes, "V'timahani v'chimipnei mitzvah lespalal b'tzibor, because the mitzvah of davening in a minyan dachu aseh shebat Torah, you're able to violate a mitzvah deraisa, isa deraisa of liol mem tavodu just to get a minyan. V'efsher, it's possible shelo amra Torah liol mem tavodu ela mishim shelo litein lehem matnas chinam kinyan dichsiv b'goyim lo sechanim." Ramban is getting to the crux of what does it mean liol mem tavodu. Why can't you free a slave? Because it's giving them a free gift. An Eved Kanani in its current state is a goy. There's a machlokas. Actually, some say he's a half Jew, but the Ramban assumed that the Eved Kanani is a goy. So you can't give a free gift to a goy. You can't let him go free. That's a matnas chinam. That's doing it for nothing, for no reason. But if you're doing this for a purpose, says the Ramban, l'tzorech mitzvah, he says, then you're allowed to. That's not free anymore. So if you're doing something to gain a mitzvah, then you're allowed to give him a gift. It's not a free gift anymore. So freeing the Eved Kanani, it's not free anymore since I'm gaining something. So to give a bracha to a goy, if it were to be for mitzvah purpose, whatever that mitzvah might be, to give a gift for a mitzvah, he's going to do for us a mitzvah, he's going to bury the tzaddikim and take care of them, that would be good grounds to give a bracha. If there's going to be a mitzvah that's gained from it, covered a brios, covered a mace, that would be a reason as well. So maybe this Ramban, there's a second heter, that giving gifts for mitzvahs are permitted, would be another reason why maybe I could have given this Yishmaeli a bracha, because it was a tzorach mitzvah, perhaps, of protecting the covered hamace.
Getting a mitzvah by giving it to a goy, so isn't a mitzvah havot mi'aveir?
So the way the understanding of the Ramban is, that aveira only exists if it's for free. But the moment it's no longer free anymore, it's something I'm gaining, it's not even issur to talk about anymore. It's not that you're pushing one asse, it's pushing off another low asse. It's that the lav doesn't even exist. The issur is defined as, don't give a free gift. But once it's a gift for a mitzvah, it's no longer considered free anymore. But I'm gaining from this, though. It's really for myself. He's the conduit to get the mitzvah.
Isn't that a little bit selfish, though? Because you're doing it for yourself, you're not really doing it for a true purpose? I don't quite understand that.
No, but that's the point.
You're using them, in other words. You're using them. What hanor does he get out of it?
He gets a bracha. He gets a bracha. But the Torah says you can't. We cannot foster relationships with the goyim. Because we don't give brachas, we don't give gifts to them. But if there's something that I'm going to gain out of that, so then even though I might be using him, that's permitted. Okay, he's getting something else. He's getting a bracha. He's getting a gift. He's getting something. But I'm also getting something. But to have it go one direction where he's gaining, I'm not getting anything in return, that's very unselfish. He's gaining, I'm not. But we're both going to receive. He's getting the gift. I'm getting the mitzvah. So then it's equal playing field.
So why can't we say the same thing on a general rule that if you are able to gain something from the goyim by having a relationship with them, you're also gaining something from it? So
that's exactly right. No, that's the first heter. When this makira, when you recognize him, when there is a relationship, there's something that you have gained or will gain, then that would be permitted as well. It's only when it's one directional, where you're giving gifts to him and not gaining anything in return, only then is it going to be awesome. Let's go now to the third and final heter that exists in the poskim. And that's based on the question of giving an ani. Are you allowed to give an ani a tzedakah? So you can't give an ani tzedakah because it's a gift to him. It's a matnas chinam. But there's a tosefta that Tosas writes, he quotes, that you're allowed to be mefarnes aniyei ovdei chachavim with aniyei Yisrael mipnei darchei shalom. So let's say you're giving tzedakah. Let's say it's Purim. Purim's Rosh Chodesh is this week, which means Purim's in 6 weeks from now. So you're at door, there's a ton of aniyim collecting from you on Purim. And you're giving a dollar out, whatever you give out to the aniyim. So there's a smart guy who says, I could do the same thing. Let me jump on that line. Everyone's coming out with a dollar bill. Let me also get a dollar bill. So are you supposed to give a dollar bill? You notice the guy comes to you, you say, push him away, get off the line, and give the Jew. The lacha is, if you're being mefarnes aniyei ovdei chachav, aniyei Yisrael rather, you have to also be mefarnes the aniyei ovdei kochavim, because it looks bad, it's not nice, it's darchei shalom, you only care about your own kind, you don't care about others. That's we've been accused of this many times, we only care about ourselves, not others. Now we really should only care about ourselves, but because it creates tremendous eva and fighting and a lack of darchei shalom, we have to watch out for the goyim as well, in this particular case. And therefore, if it's ever a reason of darchei shalom, one's allowed to give a matnas chinam. So, therefore, this particular case where the Yishmaeli, who represented the Moroccan government, where he was creating the Archei Shalom and it was taking care of the Kivir Tzadikim, then I think there was every reason to give him a bracha. Now, it does raise the question, how do you define Archei Shalom? Let's say a homeless person comes up to me in the street and asks for money. I don't give him money. I'm not giving anyone money. I'm not giving the Jews money. Do I not give him money? Can I give him money? Is that matnas chinam? Is that darche shalom? I don't know. But lechora, I would imagine that you should not give money to the homeless person. If he starts saying nasty things about Jews, maybe you want to give money then to prevent him from saying that. But I don't think mikra din you would have to give. The concept is only true when he sees you're giving Jews money, so then you'd have to give him money as well. So those are the three aterim that are found. And now this comes with Darche Shalom as well. There's a mission in Gittin. It's a well-known mission in Gittin, number 9, that the Gemara says in Gittin that Sholin b'shlomam mipnei Darche Shalom. Misha tells us you should also greet the Goyim in the morning, in the evening when you see them because of Darche Shalom. We have a lovely individual who helps us here, Israel. You should greet him every morning whenever you see him. You go, I don't like how many places refer to the janitors as the shagids in the closet. That's not a proper way. We should treat them with respect. Misha says, Darche Shalom. You have to treat them just like you would treat your own type. It's all the same point of respecting them. We're not talking about dating them, Chas Shalom. We're talking about just being friendly and warm individuals. Along the same lines, yeah?
What about like Avraham Avinu is setting up and hitting the, you know, everyone, and then you have, you know, like Yaakov who sent gifts to, you know, to Lavan and to...
Great questions. I think it's a very good question, I think. The simple answer would be this is all called the Matan Torah. That would be the simple understanding. And even if you assume that many do assume that they kept all the mitzvahs, even though they kept the mitzvahs, doesn't mean they had the din of Kedushas Yisrael. They kept mitzvahs, but there's a good question, but those are, I think, the easy ways to work around them. So this would explain how Yisrael, how Yaakov gave a bracha to Paro, because he was Makiro. He respected him. He took care of Yosef. He took care of all the brothers. Gave them the Eretz Goshen. So there was some level of Dar Cheshalom and Makir that existed there as well. Any question? Oh. Exactly. Rav Aaron.
He just came in there.
Exactly. Rav Aaron was Makiro. Was Dar Cheshalom. He had a tremendous amount of respect. One can say that, you know, as an outgrowth, Rav Schneer could have showed respect to the children. It could have been. Right. I'm not sure. That's what I imagine was part of the thinking. So now, in the end of the day, what happened? So I wasn't chazing this in my head when I met the Shishmelia. I'm not that good, guys. But I knew I had to give a bracha. I just wasn't sure what the heter was at the time. But I gave him a bracha. I gave him some generic bracha that he should continue to do wonderful things for Morocco and the world and the Jews. And he was telling me how the Morocco is really the place of the Jews. The Jews lived there before he lived there and everything like that. And he told me whenever I want to come to Morocco, I should speak to his friend, my friend Reuven, and we'll work it out. He'll take care of me, take me to all the places, he'll treat me like a king. Beautiful. So the next day I texted my friend Reuven. I said, so is this true? Can I really go to Morocco? He says, whenever you want. Just let me know. You could go. I said, no, I'm not going myself. When are you going to Morocco? We'll go together. So he's going, he's supposed to go in February, not working out, maybe in March. He might go in March, and I might go with him in March to go see the Moroccan prince and whatever other cool things might exist there. I'll finish off with one last final story about Rav Yonasan Eibeschutz. Rav Yonasan Eibeschutz was a tremendous Eloi, very sharp. And he was very close with the king or emperor where he lived, and they would hang out a lot. The emperor really loved the mind of the Rav Yonasan Eibeschutz in philosophy and in religion and everything. So one time they're walking in the garden of the emperor, and the king stops Rav Yonasan Eibeschutz and asks him, are rabbis allowed to give brachos to goyim? So he says, yeah, certainly they can. He was makiro, he recognized them, they had a relationship, darchei shalom, all those heterim. So the king says, okay. So he points to a statue of Yashka. He says, could you give him a bracha? So Rav Yonasan Eibeschutz is very sharp, very sharp. Without thinking, he says, the problem is you have to know the guy's father to give a bracha. All right, so we'll stop here. I think next week we'll start some...